Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, but first we're going to do our vision. And we are glad you're here today. Thank you for being here. Let's look at this. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, bond of peace. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us. You said the Holy Spirit would teach us. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you teach us today. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding in this area of the resurrection. So, Lord, we're trusting you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And, Lord, if there's someone here today that has never called on your name, may they call on your name and truly be saved. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. So, we've been looking at this, and he says, whoever resists, remember the word resist, frustrates. Whoever frustrates the authority frustrates the ordinance of God. And those who resist, who frustrate, will bring judgment on themselves. See that? When you resist any kind of authority, you frustrate yourself. And you actually ask for judgment on yourself. See that? That's why your boss at work, he may be a stinker. I can't believe I said that, but a rascal. And so, but you are to love them and be kind to them and honor what they ask you to do and submit to it. When you submit to it, you are submitting to God. And that person may come and he may have bourbon breath and he may be foul-mouthed and whatever. But you know what? Because you're submitting to that authority, you're submitting to God through him. God put him there over you. And when you understand that, it changes your world. It brings power into your life. This is something we have to understand. We have to embrace this idea of authority. Because really, that's what we're talking about today, is the resurrection. And it's really about authority. It really is. So, you're going to see this. So, go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at this. And Paul established the Corinthian church. He preached to the Corinthian church and established the Corinthian church. And so what he's attempting to do here is he was having all these problems in the church. Their lifestyles weren't reflecting a life that follows Christ. And so he was coming up, why is this happening? Why are people repeating these patterns in their life of drug addiction, anger, strife? Why are people repeating these patterns? They're not having victory over these patterns. When really, what he was preaching has the power to give you victory in those areas of your life. Over every sin, he can give you victory over that. when you understand and believe the resurrection. So that's what Paul came to the conclusion, that it's the resurrection they don't understand. If they understood it, they wouldn't be living that way. And you know what? I got to reading and studying this. I thought some of you coming here don't really believe in the resurrection, or you wouldn't be acting and carrying on the way you do. Are you still glad you came to church? That's really the reality of it. You wouldn't be living like you're living if you really believed what this is saying, this resurrection. And my attempt today is to help you understand this resurrection. And that's what Paul was doing to the Corinthian church. Because I mean, everything was going on in the church. And, you know, we've seen it all up in this church. But we're out to help us understand and become the church that Jesus is building. Amen? That's for sure. Now listen. Because they were misusing the Lord's Supper. They were misusing the spiritual gifts. All these gifted people, they weren't using them to glorify God. Selfish ambitions. You know, some people go into ministry to get rich. I'm here to tell you, you don't go into ministry to get rich. You know, some people want a mega church. I want a mega church. I'm going to get wealthy one day, and I'm going to lead up. You go into that, you got a rude awakening. Huh? You have a rude awakening coming. Because your ambitions are going to be tested. You're going to be tested as to why you're in the ministry, as to why you're doing what you're doing. Are we making sense? People were misusing the gifts in the church. So that's what Paul is doing here. He's showing the people, you have to believe the resurrection. And when you believe that, now you can live a holy life. He wants you to be holy, whole, secure. You catching that? He wants you to be secure. Now listen, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul spent this whole chapter on the resurrection. Like I said, because, you know, there was factions and adultery and homosexuality and lesbianism, all these different things going on in the church. And Paul said, I need to address this. The reason they're repeating these behaviors is because they don't understand the resurrection. If you understand it, it's going to bring change to your life. Now look at this. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 15:1, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. So he's saying, I preached to you the gospel that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again. The gospel, the good news. I said, I preached it to you, which also you received. In other words, they received it. And in which you stand. They were standing in what they received. But it wasn't showing up in their life. All right, next. Next one. By which also you are saved. See? They got saved. A lot of people go to an altar and get saved. But that's only the beginning. That's just the start. If you want to be saved, you have to stay connected in the body of Christ. You see that? You have to stay and be saved. Because we're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved forever. Past, present, future, right? And so our salvation is something we have to continually be aware of. The greatest contributor of the quality of your life is the condition of your soul. The greatest contributor of the quality of your life is the condition of your soul. And James 1:21 says, it's the implanted word It's able to save your soul. If you're miserable and disgusted all the time, it's because your soul is in a difficult, is in a bad place. You're not receiving His word and your soul being saved. Because if you're being saved, you're going to be fulfilled in life. I got to keep moving because I got something else to tell you. This is huge. Now look, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. See, you know what, folks? It's not enough just to believe. It's not enough just to believe. The Bible says the demons believe. The devil believes. But you see the difference between them? They don't want to do the will of God. They don't want to submit to God. You see that? It's not enough just to believe. You have to do His will. And that's what He calls you to. That's what He created you for. That's what the garden was all about. The will of God. See that? Now think about this. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Paul was telling them something that he had received. See? In John 1:12 it says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, who were born of God. He had received it. He was born again. He's telling them what He had received. You see that? Am I making sense? He's making a case to the Corinthian church. He's trying to help them get out of some of their mess, of their reoccurring defeat and misery. Am I making sense? That's what he's attempting to do by helping them understand this resurrection. And I'm going to tell you what, when you understand it, it will change the way you live. It's going to change the people you begin to run around with and spend a lot of time with. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your pain and your joy, the most pain in your life and the most joy in your life comes from the people you connect with. You hear me? So you need to know who the people are in your life. It's important. Because you're not, let me tell you something. You can't just have a relationship with God. See that? You got to have a relationship with people. And people can be difficult. But you see, Jesus can help you with people. We're going to talk about that. Hold on. Now, look at this. All that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Scripture, 700 years before Christ, was all prophesied in the Scriptures. There was a Scripture in Genesis prophesying that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. That's on the cross. The seed of the woman was Jesus. The seed of the woman. Mary, are you listening to me? Guess what? We're the seed of the woman now. Woman, we're the bride of Christ. We're the firstborn. Oh, I got it. We'll talk about that later. Give me this next one. And that He was seen. Wait a minute. Go back. We didn't finish. I shouldn't have said, give me the next one. Look what He says. And that He was buried. We got to elaborate on that. And He was buried. Jesus was buried. When Jesus died on the cross, then they buried Him in the tomb. He was buried. When He was buried, I want you to hear this. Every sin that you committed and I have committed was buried with Him. Past, present, future. Did you catch that? That's good news right there. When you understand that, that alone ought to change your life. Past, present, future. Every sin
was dealt with, buried with Jesus.
Isn't that something? Now get a hold of this. You see, the empty tomb is really not empty for you and I. It's fulfilled promises. The scriptures were fulfilled with the empty tomb. That's telling us that what he has done and said will happen. Are you listening to me? And nothing can change it. And on the third, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. Now, and that he was seen by Cephas. He rose again on the third day. They went to that grave and he was gone. Jesus wasn't there. He came back. When he was buried, listen to me, he went into the earth, Hades, and he preached to the people who had died before Christ. You see that? He preached to them. They had all died. They were in a holding place, Hades. Now listen to me. He goes down and preaches to them, the ones that believed, Abraham, Isaac, David, all, and you know, a whole lot more. They all, and when he descended, then he ascended. Then he went to heaven, and he took all of the ones who believed with him. But the ones that didn't believe remained in Hades. Now, I'm helping you understand something today. Just stay with me. This is so important to understand. So, let's look at this. You see, God told Jesus, he says, they're going to put you in there, but I'm going to get you out. That's what he told him. They're going to put you, you know what? Sometimes people will put you in a situation that only God can get you out. Are you listening to me? Sometimes people will put you in a situation that only God can get you out of. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the people put them in the fiery furnace, and God got them out. Daniel was put into the lion's den, and God got him out. Joseph was put into the pit for sharing his dream. But God got him out. God can get you out of any difficult situation if you will trust in his power of his resurrection. God can get you out. Are you with me? God can get you out of it. We need to understand that. I don't care what you're facing in this life or what you're going through. God can get you out of it. If you'll trust in him, he can get you out. Am I making sense? And you know what that is? That's the resurrection power. That's his authority in your life, and it's coming to get you out. If you understand, it's going to change your life completely. Now listen to me. Some of you came in here today, and you were blaming other people. Well, only God can get you out. You see, when you complain and murmur, this word complain, listen to me, this word complain, it comes from the Greek. And it literally means, the first part of the word means to blame. When you complain, you are blaming other people. Now watch, the second part of the word, plain, is the word lot or fate. Lot or fate. So when I complain, I'm blaming other people for my lot and for my fate in life. You see that? I'm blaming other people. See, God wants you to be responsible for who you are. He wants you to have ownership of your life. And when you got him, he will show you your life. Only he can give you life. Only he can give you the truth. You see that? Only Jesus can give you the truth. When you complain, you are blaming other people for your position in life. Only God can get you out. Stop complaining and start trusting God, and God will get you out.
Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? You gotta listen to what I'm trying to help you see. This is so significant. This complaining stuff, we need to get rid of it. When you complain about the government, you complain about the gas price, you complain, that stuff will always be robbing from you. But when you stop it and you start trusting God, I don't care if the gas is $5 a gallon, $10 a gallon. God is going to provide for you. Are you listening to me? We're not dependent on this world system. We're dependent on the kingdom of God. Come on, are you listening to me? He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. The word glory is what God originated and intended. That's what he calls you to, what he originated and intended. When you're in that, he's bound to his word to take care of you. That's a whole nother message. I gotta quit that. Now watch this. Now look. And that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. So he's building this case. These people saw Jesus before and after he died. He's letting them know. This is evidence. Now watch. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. You know what? There's this commentary I had said they thought that some of them people were hallucinating. They had proof. They were not hallucinating. They saw Jesus. They've got more proof that Jesus was here than George Washington. Documented proof. It changed the whole time frame, BC to AD. Now listen to me. He's making this case. Over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Now listen. Everyone who died before Christ was under the power and authority of death. And Satan held the power and the authority of death before Christ. You see this? Now stay with me. After that, he was seen by James, then by the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. Paul. Paul was saying he was seen by him. He saw him. Now think about this. You know where he saw him? On the road to Damascus. Paul was killing Christians. Paul was murdering people. And now he's on the road to Damascus, and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" How was he persecuting? By mistreating people. You see, when you mistreat people, you mistreat Jesus. Did you get that? When you mistreat, Jesus said, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. When you mistreat people, you mistreat Jesus. He said, why are you persecuting me? And kicking against the goads. The kicking against the goads was authority term. They were bucking against authority. He says, you're kicking against the goads. That was an authority term. Now listen. Then he said, he's given him a whole new mission. Now his eyes are open, Paul. See, Paul's eyes are open. Acts 26, he says, now I send you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. The authority of Satan now to the authority of God. I want you out of the authority of death. Death means separation. In other words, we have areas in our life that are producing death. They're not producing anything. And God wants that area of your life to have life. See that? You need to crucify yourself in that area, your way of doing it, and go God's way. You see that? And that gets you to life. And that's what Paul, that's what Jesus commissioned him to. Now I'm sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me, an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for those who are being kept by the power of God. There's that power again. The power of God. The resurrection power will keep you and protect you. Are you listening to me? Now think about this. Death means separation. So what's happening is, when we are willing to die to our way of doing things, you take up your cross and follow Him. You die to yourself and you do it His way. You see that? You do it His way. And when you do it His way, now you get the truth. The truth calls you to His way. See that? He said, I am the way. See, Jesus had to die for our sins so we could go to heaven, but He had to live here on earth. He had to live here on earth to show us how to live. To show us how to live. See that? It says, coming in the likeness of man and being found in the form of a servant, He humbled Himself and became obedient even to death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To God be the glory forever and forever and forever. Listen to me. That name is above every name. He established His way when He was on earth. He said, I am the way. Well, what's that talking about? Well, I can't. How do I handle my stress? I'm the way. How do I handle my discouragement? I'm the way. How do I handle my depression? I'm the way. How do I handle my addiction? I'm the way. You see that? I'm the way. The truth calls you to His way. And when the truth calls you to His way, listen, when you're doing it your way, it's fantasy. Truth calls you out of fantasy into reality. And that gets you to the life. I'm the way, truth, and life. See the order? The life is the resurrected life. The God's way. The God life. You see that? And when you do it His way, that's what you get, His life. How do I handle my marriage? I'm the way. You see that? How do I handle my relationships? I'm the way. You've got to be willing to embrace His way. You see that? And He brings you to the life, the resurrected life. He said, I'm going to give you life, and it's going to be more abundant. It's going to grow and increase, and you're going to be fulfilled in that life. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? This is huge. When we understand that and go His way, we get His way. We get His life, the life He created you for. If you don't go His way, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be complaining. You're going to be walking around with a scowl on your face. And nobody's going to want what you want. You see, fantasy is literally means this. It means to make up. It means make believe. It means an image of your own. Fantasy. And that's what people live in. Fantasy. Well, this is how it is. You know what? When you make it up, you'll never be fulfilled in life. But when you do it, the truth, it calls you out of that fantasy into reality. It's not what you think it is. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. The word repent means change your mind towards this kingdom. This kingdom isn't what you think it is. It's altogether different. You need to learn and understand this kingdom. That's what He was saying.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.